As you find your seats this morning, I would just, if you want to turn, we're going to be in Matthew, but before we really get into Matthew this morning, I want you to go to the book of John. So go ahead and find that. It's just a few chapters towards the back. If you want to go to John chapter 21, I'm just going to read just a few verses, 15 through 17, in John 21. I'm going to give you just a second. I already had mine marked, so I'm going to give you just a second to find that. And I want to just give us a few reminders this morning from God's Word. John chapter 21, verse 15 through 17 says this. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said. "You know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep." Jesus said a third time, and he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep." Keep that on your hearts and on your minds, and I want you to flip over 7 or 8 chapters the other way, and let's go to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 3. So see if you can find that just for a second. And if nothing else, if we get ahead of you, I'd ask that you just mark that or make a mental note and maybe read this later. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 1 through 3 says this. "The voice said to me, 'Son of man, eat what I am giving you. Eat this scroll, then go give its message to the people of Israel.' So I opened my mouth and he fed me the scroll. 'Fill your stomach with this,' he said. And when I ate it, it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth." Why did I read that this morning? Well, I want you to understand this. Before we get into the passage in Matthew chapter 15 today, I want us to be reminded of this. My job as a pastor, my job as a Christ follower, my job as someone who loves Jesus Christ is to feed a sheep. That's my job. But for me to feed the sheep have to be ready to eat, right? So just like when I sit down to study the passage each week, when I go to study, if I try to do it all by myself, if I sit down and I say, "I just got to get this sermon done so I can go fishing. Let me get my sermon done so I can check that off the list so I can earn my paycheck from the church." Doesn't work like that. See, if I expect to be fed, I must come ready before the Lord, ready to eat the scroll, ready to eat the words that He wants to tell us, ready to bring it into my life. Let it soak in. If we expect to be fed this morning, we must be ready to eat the scroll this morning. So are you ready to take in the message that God has given us today in His Word? Amen? Are you ready? Now, I'm going to do the best I can to feed you this morning, but ultimately, we must be willing to let God and His Spirit feed us through His Word and through the preaching and the teaching and the reading of His Word to feed us this morning. Amen? So a quick recap from last week is this, and we're going to jump right into it. We saw Jesus going to this place and talking to these people of Gennesaret, and they gave us the perfect example of how one may become whole in Christ. Does anybody remember that? Is it coming back at all? Number one, we must know about Christ. If we don't hear about Christ and we don't know about His saving grace and what He really is capable of doing and what He wants to do, if we don't know about Christ, we'll never be made whole. But the ones we know about Him, number two, is we must personally come to Christ, each one of us. And then we have a responsibility, just like those people did. They brought many other people to Christ as well. And number three, we must humble ourselves before Christ, sometimes even begging Christ to heal us and to cleanse us. It's that humble adoration of coming before Him and humbling ourselves and saying, "I can't fix myself. I can't do it on my own." Number four, we must reach out to touch Jesus. There is a part of our a responsibility that is on us that we must try and we must seek after the Lord. The Word tells us that we are to seek after God wholeheartedly. And last but not least, we must experience the power of Christ in our life personally. It's not what someone else tells you about Christ or someone else. We must all have our own testimony of what Christ has done in our life and is doing actively in our life. We must experience the power, saving grace of Jesus Christ. So today, as we start into chapter 15, we're going to see Jesus telling us about what defiles a person. So we talked about last week, what makes you whole. But to this week, we're talking about what defiles, what makes a person unclean. Again, after last week, we should know how to be made whole. It was pretty simple the way that he laid it out for us. But now we must be warned of what it actually defiles us. So let's let God's word speak to us first. And I'll take a feeble attempt with the help of the Holy Spirit of explaining how it reads to me. Matthew chapter 15, and we're going to go through quite a few verses, so bear with me as the wind's trying to blow my pages over here. Amen. There you are, God. Some Pharisees and teachers of religious law now arrived from Jerusalem to see Jesus. They asked him, "Why do your disciples disobey our age-old tradition? For they ignore our tradition of ceremonially washing their hands before they eat." Jesus replied, "And why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commandments of God? For instance, God says, 'Honor your father and mother.' And anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death. But you say it is all right for people to say to their parents, 'Sorry, I can't help you. For I have vowed to give to God what I would have given to you.' In this way, you say they don't need to honor their parents. And so you cancel the word of God for the sake of your own tradition. You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you when he wrote, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God.'" Then Jesus called to the crowds to come to hear. He says, "Listen and try to understand. It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You are defiled by the words that come out of your mouth." Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you realize you offended the Pharisees by what you have just said?" Jesus said, "Every plant not planted by my heavenly Father will be uprooted. So ignore them. They are blind guides leading the blind. And if a blind person guides another, they will both fall into a ditch." Then Peter said to Jesus, "Explain to us this parable that says people aren't defiled by what they eat." "Don't you understand yet?" Jesus asked. "Anything you eat passes through the stomach and then goes into the sewer. But the words you speak come from the heart. That's what defiles you. For from the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. These are what defile you. Eating with unwashed hands will never defile you." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the reading of your word, and we pray your blessing upon it this morning. Lord, I just pray that you would speak to us today. Lord, that we would listen to your words, that we would listen to your spirit. We say it every Sunday. It's on my heart every Sunday, God, but we all come in here with something else. Something different. We're all unique, yet we're all the same. We all struggle with something. It may be different, but we all struggle. And we all carry burdens, and we all try to make ourselves clean. We've all been guilty of trying to do it without your help. Lord, I just pray today that we would just listen to your spirit. Listen to your spirit this morning, and that we would allow you to work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So just in case you were wondering this morning, there's always been two major different types of religion in the world. Since the very beginning of creation, since man started trying to follow all these rules and all those things, there's always been two types of religion in the world. There's religion that stresses the outside of one's person, and then there's a religion that stresses the inside. You see, these external, these outside religions say to be physically and morally clean. That's what's important. While the internal religion says to be spiritually made new is what really matters. To be a new creation, to be born again from the inside out. External religion says it's that it requires us to work hard to keep the outside clean so the inside may become cleaner. While the internal religion says that if a person is clean on the inside, then they will want to be out clean on the outside. So they'll want to keep the outside clean. Once God has their heart, they'll want to keep their outside clean. The external religion says that you have to follow rules and traditions and all these ceremonies to be made clean, while the internal religion behaves by following the Spirit of God, those fruits of the Spirit that we read about in Galatians. Behaving out of a heart of love for God and our neighbors. External religion wants us to follow traditions, ceremonies, denominational rules, all kinds of other church rules, church works and deeds, and all these charities that we may give to that may make us a better person. Maybe our church position, maybe control in the church, maybe recognition for the work that we do in the church. That's an external religion. While the internal religion wants Jesus Christ, wants a relationship with the Son of God, a new heart, a new desire to reach others, a new desire to love others and to love God and to give your life to Him. A new desire to serve others, not for recognition, not because you think it'll make God happier and make Him not judge you as harshly. No, because you realize what God has done for you and you want to serve out of an overflow from that. A desire to humbly serve God. See, this is the difference that Jesus was dealing with in this passage. This is the difference that He was rebuking and explaining. Jesus used this opportunity to teach another lesson. When He was encountered and when He was confronted by these external religious people, and not only just religious people, but leaders. And He gave us a lesson. He gave a lesson to them, to the religious leaders. He gives a lesson to the crowd, and He also gives a lesson to His disciples. We've seen that over and over and over as we've been going line by line, verse by verse, through the book of Matthew. As we've been following Jesus through His life and His ministry, we see how many lessons He's always teaching and always wanting to teach us. What really pleases God and what really is going to make us whole. Jesus explained to them four main things that defile a person. And we see the first thing that defiles a person. If you look through the first nine verses, go back and it's so much scripture that we read today for the sake of time. Just open up your Bibles and look at verse 1-9 and follow along with me. The first thing that we see in these verses is that really defiles a person, that really makes you unclean, as a person who just follows traditional religion, that external religion. Jesus points out the real faults of these religious leaders. We see it right here. He says, and just like anything else Jesus taught, what we need to realize is we don't need to look at these religious leaders and just say, oh, well, He's just talking to them. Man, those Pharisees really had it messed up. Those guys, man, they sure were sinners. That's not the purpose of it, because it applies to religious people and religious leaders here today. So here's a few faults found in the religious people. A religious person overall puts tradition above the Word of God. So they take man-made rules and they put it over top of what Jesus Himself says to do. As a church, it would mean that we put things like rules, regulations, dress codes, a certain service style, or maybe schedules. We have to do the Lord's Supper every quarter. We're guilty of that, right, in the Baptist church? Music styles, ceremonies. Maybe a historical building that we mistake as the church, when really this is the church. And I love our church building. But so often as a church, we can get our priorities out of whack, and we can start thinking about man-made traditions and rules and buildings and all that, and we can prioritize and get it all messed up. We put all of it before God and what His Word really tells His church to do. God's church is a living, breathing, powerful machine that cannot be stopped and will not be stopped. It's not a building that can burn up in the first electrical short. It's not a suit and tie. It's not a pair of shorts and a flip-flops. It's not a ceremony. It's not some kind of regulations and rules. It's not a denomination. Put all those things before the Word of God and our church will be defiled. As a person, it would mean that we put things above God and His Word in our personal life. Maybe in the church, but also just through our regular life. Or maybe we focus too much on church attendance. I got to be at church every Sunday if I'm a good Christian. Don't get me wrong. We want you here. All right? We want you to come. But it's so much deeper than that. Maybe little rituals, praying a certain way, dressing a certain way, habits that we form, or even getting too focused on the fact that I'm a Baptist. No, I'm a Methodist. I'm a Catholic. I'm from the Church of the Nazarene, or I'm from the church that's not a denominational, which really has kind of become a denomination to be non-denominational. Or I'm from Calvary Chapel. I'm whatever. I can't do that. I can't serve there. When we get so focused on all these things, instead of the Word of God and what it tells the church to do, this is what makes a person a hypocrite. This is what makes a church full of hypocrites. This is what makes me personally a hypocrite when I put all those things above God. When we start to give God just lip service while our hearts are far from Him. And we can worship Him with our lips, we can sing all day long, but our heart is farce from the Lord. It's far away from God. We might acknowledge God, we might have perfect attendance in church services, but we don't ever let God really transform us into a new creation. That's where it has to start. Jesus says this in Mark chapter 7, verse 8. He says, "You have let go of the commands of God. You've let go of the commands of God, and you're holding on to human traditions." See, this was a problem that Jesus was pointing out, and he was pointing out into the lives of these religious leaders. They went around trying so hard to look holy. They had the robes. They had to get up. They knew exactly what to say. They knew the scriptures inside and out. They knew the law of God. They knew all those things. They spent so much time trying to hang on to all those Old Testament traditions and all those man-made traditions. And Jesus, the Christ, God Himself in human form, was standing right there in front of them. And they didn't even recognize Him. And Jesus looked at him and said, "You hypocrites. You hypocrites." You see, Jesus knew their heart. Jesus knew exactly all their imperfections. He knew their sin. He knew how many times a day that they didn't keep the law themselves. It was impossible for them to do it. He knew they would refuse to go help others, even their elderly parents. And they would use their service to God, or maybe the money that they gave to God, to justify why they couldn't do the same amount of good things that God had commanded them to do in the law that they were judging other people for not doing. And they traveled all the way from Jerusalem, to try to find fault with Jesus and His disciples. That was their whole purpose. They didn't come to worship Jesus. They didn't come to do the Lord's work. They came to find fault. I was looking it up on a map this week, and this is a very rough scale, but it just had one of those little scales at the bottom of the map, and it was just something I looked at on my phone. I just kind of, added it up real quick with my fingers, because that's real precise when you hold your fingers up like that, and you keep going. It's kind of how my carpentry work goes. But anyways, I looked it up, and according to that map, did you know these guys traveled over 90 miles? Now, they either walked or rode a camel, 90 miles. That would just put it in perspective. I make a lot of trips to see my friend in Williamsburg, and that's about 100 miles. So that's like getting on a horse or getting on a camel and riding all the way to Williamsburg from Fork Union just to find fault with somebody. And the best they could do was to catch them not washing their hands before they eat. I mean, come on. This is what hypocrites do. They use their good deeds, even their service to the church, as an excuse for not doing what God really wants them to do, giving their heart to Him. While they do nothing but complain, they do nothing but point out those who break their man-made traditions or maybe the way that they want it done. This is why Jesus quoted the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 29:13 says this, "The Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules that they have been taught." We all have that. We all have rules that we've been taught. And you know what? Our parents, our grandparents, there's probably things that I'm teaching my kids right now that they're going to have to break one day. Because we're all guilty of it. Even with the best intentions, sometimes our worship can be based on merely human rules that we have been taught. You see, the religious person may sing a song about the Lord. They may do acts of service and call it the name of the Lord, but all they're doing is serving out of an empty and selfish heart. Don't be this person. Don't be the one who says, "I can't do that because I'm a Baptist, or because I'm not a Baptist, or because I'm a Methodist, or because I'm Catholic." Don't be that person. That's man-made junk is what that is. Amen. Thank you for that. Well, that's not the way we used to do it here. Instead, how about we say this? Let's follow Christ. Let's follow the Holy Spirit like we were doing here at this church. Let's follow the Lord and say, God, what do you want from Fork Union Baptist Church? Not from the building, but from the people, your church, the one that you gave your son to die for, the one that you're going to come back for one day, your bride. What do you want your bride to do? I am a Christ follower and I'm willing to follow the Spirit. How can I get plugged in and how can I get involved with the mission of Jesus Christ? Be the person who looks around and praises God and say, God, thank you for what you're doing here at Fork Union Baptist, and get involved. You see, God wants your heart. He wants my heart. He wants our spirit. He wants our worship out of an overflowing, God-filled heart. I was sitting in the river the other day. We went snorkeling, and we love to go do that and get in the James River, and we like to find all the, you know, drunk people stuff that they lost in the river. That's just kind of fun. We go on treasure hunts. Me and Blake and Nathan went the other day, and look at all the big fish that are under the river and all those. And I was sitting in the river, and they had kind of gotten away from me, and I was just thinking about this passage and thinking about this message that's on my heart this week. And I was sitting there in the river, and I'm not trying to act like I'm super spiritual here this morning. I'm just telling you my testimony. And the water was flowing around me, and I just said, God, let this be my life, that your spirit just flows out of me, and your spirit just overflows out of me, that I become that river, that overflow of living waters that you talked about. I love what Jesus told the woman at the well. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, he says, but the time is coming. See, this lady, she had never known anything. All she had known is that she was less worthy than everybody else because of her sin, because of her background, because of her who she was born, the family she was born into, or the people she was born into. Jesus says, but the time is coming. Indeed, it is here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. I love what he goes on to say. Listen to this, church. The Father is looking. Oh, God's here this morning looking. God is here this morning looking for those who will worship him that way, in spirit and truth. For God is spirit. So those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. You don't have to say any certain words. You don't have to know the Bible inside and out. You can just cry out to God and say, God, I love you this morning. God, I need you this morning. Redeem me this morning, God. Forgive me of my sin this morning. Forgive me of the things that I've done wrong. Help me, God, to forgive that person. Help me, God, to have strength to do the work of the church. On and on and on. Help me, God, just to fall on my knees daily and acknowledge my worship of you and just give it all to you. So you want to be defiled this morning? Get lost in religion traditions or religious traditions. If you want to be defiled and have an empty life and be frustrated all the time, get lost in denominational rules. You want to get lost and be defiled? Get lost in external religion and keep trying to clean yourself up from the outside. You want to get really depressed? Try to fix yourself and see how far it gets you. But you want to be made whole this morning, like we talked about last week? Just get lost in worship of Jesus, in spirit and in truth. Get lost in doing what the disciples did. They left everything behind, physically and spiritually. They just left it all behind. Nothing else mattered to them. And they said, I'll go where you go. They dropped their nets and they followed Christ. They simply followed Christ. Now I want y'all to look at something. We're at point number one, and we just finished that. So let's go to point number two. Look with me at verse 10 and 11. And it's going to go a little bit faster here. The second thing that defiles a person is what comes out of the mouth, a foul mouth. Now, we must remember that Jesus is talking to the crowd. This is what he says. He turned his attention to the crowd, and Jesus was telling everyone, and I believe he was telling everyone because he really wanted us today here at Fork Union Baptist to realize that the words that he's about to speak are for us. There's a crowd of people here today. It applies to everyone. It's not a matter of what a person eats or drinks that defiles them or makes them holy or makes them clean. Paul talked about it in Romans chapter 14, verse 17. He says this, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You see, it's the difference of that external religion and that internal religion. Instead of worrying about the physical things that we do, the religious practices we do and the ceremonies, instead of worrying about the rules and the regulations, we should be more concerned about our heart. What's our heart condition? We talked about that when in the parable of the farmer sowing the seeds. Like, sometimes God wants to test our heart this morning. Say, let's get down to the core motives of why you're here this morning. Why are you here? Why are you singing the songs that we sing? Is it coming from just your mouth or is it coming from your heart? Because it's the stuff that comes out of our mouth that really reveals our heart and our thoughts. That's why Jesus is asking us this morning. You see, the mouth has the power to confess Christ as our Lord and Savior, right? That's what the Bible says. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be what, church? They'll be saved, right? But the mouth has the power to deny Christ. And the mouth can either curse God and use His name in vain and use all kinds of foul mouth and foul speech and gossip about people and put people down, or it can sing the praises of God and it can go out and spread the gospel and the love of Christ. James talked about this in chapter 3. He said, sometimes, talking about our tongue and our mouth, he said, sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessings and cursings come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Again, it all goes back to those two opposite kinds of religion. If you have an external religion like I used to have, you have to constantly be careful not to say unclean things or do things that are inappropriate around other Christians while you're at church. You have to try not to, you get ready to say a cuss word, or you get ready, because all week long you've been talking like that, but all of a sudden when you get to church, it's got to change. I love being a pastor. I absolutely love it. You know one of my favorite parts of being a pastor? When someone cusses in front of me, I love it. They go, oh, sorry, I didn't realize you were here. Sorry about that. I'm just a person. You know, I say, you don't have to apologize to me. You might want to apologize to God. I love having fun with it. Sorry, Anthony, I forgot you were a man of the cloth. One guy actually told me that, and I said, what is that? What even is that? What is a man of the cloth? But see, if you have the internal religion, your heart has been born again, and you desire to be clean. You desire to do the will of God. You desire to live that life that Paul was talking about, with being good and peaceful and joyful. And you don't want to say nasty, unclean things. You don't want to have impure things in your life. And when you do say something, because it's still going to happen, that's unpleasing to God, or you do something that's unpleasing to God, the difference is when you're reborn, or when you have that internal religion, is that you're quick to repent. And you're quick to ask for forgiveness. Now, you got to go to God and you got to say, God, forgive me for that. And guess what? The Word of God tells us He takes it and He throws it. I imagine Him just balling up my sin and throwing it like a baseball into the depths of the sea. But we also have to go back and ask for forgiveness for those that we may have offended or hurt along the way. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says this. So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all kinds of unkind speech. So if you want to be made clean, let Christ into your heart and allow Him to clean up your mouth and to clean up your life. That's the only way it's really going to work. And if you want to be defiled, let your mouth remain foul and just let it go on and say whatever comes to your heart. The world's going to tell you, follow your heart, right? You know what the world says? Oh, just follow your heart. But Jesus just told us what comes out of the heart. What really comes out of the heart? It's all those evil things. So we have to let Christ into our heart, let Him make it a new creation, so the things that come out of our mouth won't defile us. Number three, the third thing that defiles a person is spiritual blindness. Now, if you look at these verses, the next few verses, you'll see that now Jesus is speaking directly to who? Who's He speaking to right now? What's that? He's talking to His disciples. He looked right to His disciples and He's talking to them. So you see, the disciples were really concerned that Jesus had just talked to these religious leaders and called them hypocrites. He didn't just correct them. He didn't just tell them and point out what they were doing wrong. He looked at them, and mine has a bunch of exclamation points. So that tells me, he says, you hypocrites. I wasn't really pointing at somebody over here. I just had to point somewhere. You hypocrites. I picture him just saying it. Like, look, what are you talking about? You hypocrites. And the disciples are saying, oh my goodness, Jesus, do you realize what you just did and who you're talking to? And I love what Jesus tells them in verse 13 and 14. Listen what he says. Look back at those verses. He says, every plant that is not planted by my heavenly Father will be uprooted. So ignore them. Jesus wasn't worried about those religious people. He wasn't worried about the authority they had because it was just worldly. That's all it was. He said, ignore them. They are blind guides leading the blind. And if one blind person guides another, they're both going to fall into a ditch. Jesus was telling his disciples not to worry about those religious people, those religious leaders. Why? Because they weren't planted by God. They were temporary and they were weak. You see, this is still very true today. In fact, I would say that there are plenty of religious leaders here today, not in this church, but in this nation and in this world today, who are not from God. You can be ordained by men. You can have certificates. You can have everything you want. You can hang stuff on the wall. It doesn't matter. You can wear a robe. You can wear a priest robe. You can sit behind a confession booth. You can do whatever you want. You can get up and preach every Sunday. But if you're not called and ordained by God, you're wasting your time because you weren't planted by God. See, being a pastor, being a teacher of the word, it's a calling. Every time I try to do it by myself, I've talked a little bit about it. Every time I try to do it on my own, you know what happens? I go round and round in circles and I get frustrated. And when I come back to that place and I say, God, speak to my heart. You know what he says? He's like, okay, now I can work with you. Now I've got you. Now you forgot about all your projects. Now you forgot about all the things you got to do before Sunday. Now you forgot about work. You're focused on me. Now I've got some ground to work with. All he wants is their time. All he wants is their heart. See, those that are ordained by men and not ordained by God are those ministers who are quick to cave in to the newest fads or the ways of the world or what's politically correct. Or they worship their traditions and they're in the past, those traditionals, man-made rules, that external religion, more than they just say, we as a church are going to do what God's word tells us to do. What the church in Acts went out and did. And that was to go out and preach the gospel to a dying world and watch God grow the church and bring new believers to Christ every day. Either way, Jesus tells us that if we go with this external view of religion and we're constantly worried about traditions and rules and all those things, we're going to be defiled. You see, Christ was brief and to the point. It was just two or three verses, but his point was loud and clear. These types of leaders in the church are not to be feared. They're not to hold back his church. And he gave us two reasons. He said, number one, what? They're not from God. And number two, he gave us a promise. He said, they're going to be what? They're going to be uprooted. Don't worry about them. Will talked a little bit about this to the youth group. That was his whole message, in fact, at youth group Wednesday night. Proverbs 29:25 was his scripture. It says, fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. Fearing people is a dangerous snare, or it's a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety. Why fear one or two religious people when there's a whole crowd of all those who want to follow Jesus? Do you know that? Out of all the people that came that day, I believe there was hundreds of people there to see Jesus, and they're being healed by Jesus. And two or three religious people traveled all the way from Jerusalem, and the disciples were getting ready to start fear. They were feared. They were scared of them. And they were getting ready to let those two or three naysayers, stop them from doing the will of God. So if you're that person who's always has something negative to say or always holding the brakes while the rest of the church is moving forward, guess what? We're not going to fear you anymore. Amen? I figured everybody would just sit back and be like, I ain't answering on that one. Guess what? We don't have to fear you. We love you. We're going to pray for you. We want you to get on board with us, but we don't fear you. Instead, we're going to continue following the Holy Spirit because that's what Jesus told us to do. Jesus was telling his disciples not to worry about these religious people because they would be uprooted. He didn't say you'd have to go uproot them. He says, I'm going to take care of that. So if you want to be defiled, continue following along and being spiritually blind. If you want to be defiled, keep following those religious people who want to lead you into that ditch that you're ultimately going to end up in, that you're going to be uprooted. But if you want to be made whole, don't fear those who are not from God. Focus on His Word. Focus on those ones who will encourage you to do the will of God. And just like Paul told Timothy, he said, keep fighting the good fight of faith. Focus on the things that are righteous and pure and holy. Focus on those things and keep moving forward. Keep fighting the good fight. Don't get distracted by those few religious people. Join the crowd and be a New Testament church. Number four, the fourth thing that defiles a person is their heart. And I believe he stuck to this and he left it as the last because it's the most important. And really, that's where it all has to start. So as we close, let's look back at verse 15 through 20. Here we see Jesus talking still to his disciples. And he's concerned about their lack of understanding. That's what he says. He says, do you still not understand? And just like most of the other times, I love, who's the first one that speaks up? It's Peter, right? Peter just couldn't help himself. He's the first one to speak up and he asks Jesus, he says, wait a minute, can you explain this to us again? You ever been in a class and you really want to ask a question, but you don't want to seem like you're the only one that doesn't understand it? And then when someone else raises their hand and asks the question that you wanted to ask, am I the only one that ever did that? And they ask the question, the teacher explains, you're like, oh, thank God they asked that question. I think that's the rest of the disciples with Peter. I think they when Peter would stand up and say something like that, they would say, thank goodness Peter's here, because he's willing to ask those questions. And you see, for Peter, his whole life, he had been taught all the religious rules. He was a Jew. What he couldn't eat, what he could eat, what he had to wear, what he couldn't wear, things he had to do on certain days, all the rules he had to keep, all the things he couldn't do. Kind of like being a Baptist, being told that we don't have to do some of the things that we grew up doing, right? I mean, you should see the look on some people's faces when we say, hey, I think the Lord is leading us to do this, and it's not something we've always done. It's like this initial response, and, you know, they're like, huh, okay. You know, it's a shock. Or a Catholic person being told that they can do something that they didn't think they couldn't do, or vice versa, whatever it is. Peter was making sure that he heard Jesus right. He's like, wait a minute. Are you telling me that I don't have to keep all these rules anymore? That it's as simple as just my heart? And Jesus patiently, with a little bit of rebuke, explains to Peter again. Whatever enters your mouth eventually goes into your stomach and becomes human waste. It goes back into the sewer. That food never touches your heart, Peter. That's what he's telling him. It has nothing to do with your soul. But what comes out of your mouth, what your actions, the things that you do, begins in your heart. And these are the things that will actually defile you. You see, it all goes back to those two kinds of religion. And what we need to do this morning is evaluate which one that we're practicing this morning. Do we have external religion this morning? Or do we have internal religion? This morning, are you practicing external religion? Or do you have a relationship with Christ? Do you have a new heart, created new in Christ? Who are you in this passage? Are you the hypocrite? Or are you just a simple sinner saved by the grace of God? You see, this internal religion has to start with the inside. That's where it's all got to start. And then the Holy Spirit, guess what? The seal of the Holy Spirit that God gave us to remind us and to seal us that we are a child of God and we are who He says we are. The Holy Spirit helps clean up the outside. We still can't do it on our own. That's why David in Psalm 51, after he had sinned terribly, he had an affair and he had the husband murdered. You know what he said? He didn't say, God, make me look clean again on the outside. That's not what he said. He said, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. O God, start from the core of who I am and create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. That's where it all has to start. I would encourage you today to let Jesus make you clean on the inside today. Even if you're a believer here today, maybe you've been focusing too much on your shortfalls. Maybe you've been focusing too much on your past. Maybe you've been focusing too much on man-made rules and traditions, and it's just beating you down. Go back to Psalm 51:10 and just say, create in me this morning, God, a new heart. A new loyal spirit within me. Create in me a new heart, God. Start from the inside and clean me this morning. Make me clean. Lord, I've defiled you this morning. I've defiled you this week with the words that I've said, the thoughts that I've had, the actions that I've done. I've tried keeping all the rules, and it's wearing me out. Let God come this morning, not to the church building, not to the chair you're sitting in, not to the outside of your body. Let Him come to your heart this morning. Let Him speak and experience the internal relationship that's eternal that Jesus wants you to have this morning. Amen? If God is calling you this morning, maybe you want to share a testimony about what He's doing in your life, what He's doing this morning. Maybe you want prayer, whatever it is. Come as we sing, because that's what this song is talking about. I surrender all. Nobody's going to judge you here. Because guess what? It's a crowd of people who have come today and I believe want to follow Jesus. And if that's the case, there's no condemnation in Christ. There's no judgment here. Nobody's going to say, I wonder what's going on in their life. They're going to praise God that the Holy Spirit is moving among His people. Amen? If God is calling you this morning, come as we sing.
Hello, my name is Anthony Clore, and I'm honored to be the pastor here at Fork Union Baptist Church. I hope you were blessed by the message today, and I want to encourage you with this. God is always willing and always waiting, and always wants to do great things in our lives when we simply read the Bible and hear biblical preaching and teaching. But we must allow what we hear to be applied to our lives. So if you feel God tugging at your heart or speaking to you today, I want to encourage you to stop whatever you're doing right now and respond to Him personally. And if you would like to let us know what God is doing in your life through this podcast ministry, we would be so blessed if you would reach out to us by email at churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. Again, that's churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. You can also try us at our office at 434-842-3390. Again, thank you for listening, and we hope that someday you will join us in person. We meet each Sunday at 11 a.m. Take care, and God bless.